welcome you all to this Sunday service of January 10, 2021. Fellowshipping with Presbyterian Church of Teaneck, the United Presbyterian Church of Patterson, members of Emmanuel Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Mm-hmm. This service is the baptism of the Lord. Let us be called to worship, which is taken from Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory of God's name. Worship the Lord in holy splendor.
The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty.
May the Lord give strength to God's people. May the Lord bless God's people with peace.
Let us worship God. Our opening hymn is Morning Has Broken and can be found at number 469.
Morning has grown.
Baptized believers, O God, confessing our sins. You send forth your spirit, yet we do not respond to your presence. You set us apart as water is poured over us, yet our behavior in faith does not match our unique status. Christ calls us to follow, yet we disobey his commandment. Evidence of your goodness surrounds us, yet we ignore your gracious ways. Have mercy upon us, and in your love uphold us. Above all, teach us the meaning of repentance. Amen.
Hear the good news. God said to Jesus, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." We have a high priest who is able to sympathize with our weakness, who has been tempted as we are, yet is without sin. In Christ's name, we may draw near with confidence to the throne of grace and there find mercy and grace to help in time of need. Amen.
Glory be to the Father and the Son.
Our scripture lessons are taken from Genesis 1, verses 1 through 5, and Mark chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, one day. It is our Old Testament lesson. Second lesson, New Testament lesson, is taken from Mark chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And there went out to him all the country of Judea and all the people of Jerusalem, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and had a leather girdle around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the thong of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "Thou art my beloved Son, with thee I am well pleased." Here ends the New Testament lesson. May God bless the hearing and the reading of his word. Thanks.
Amen.
The Lord is in this place. us. Has God's glory filled this place? I'm half a hem of his garment. I can almost see his face, and that heart is overflowing with the fullness of his grace. I know without a doubt that the Lord this place, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel his mighty power and his grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Amen. The Gospel of Mark, as I wrestle with mask up here, the Gospel of Mark holds before us on this baptism of the Lord Sunday the account of Jesus' baptism. Its opening chapter narrates the launching of Jesus' ministry at the moment of his baptism, when his identity and the direction and focus of the ministry before him come into clear view. Before he even appears on the scene, John the Baptizer had already identified him as the one who will save us and the one we should worship. Mark also tells us that when Jesus first shows up on the scene, he doesn't appear where we might have expected him, not in a high, lofty, and holy place, but out in the wilderness. Likewise, he won't be the kind of savior we would expect he would be, because he'll be talking to sinners and broken people. So maybe he is baptized in solidarity with them. And throughout his ministry, that's why he continues to cross boundaries, shatter expectations, and interact with the wrong sort of people, compelling us to do the same. But most important of all, when Jesus emerges from the waters of his baptism, something happens that remaps the world. Mark tells us that as he came up out of the water, he saw the heavens being ripped apart. Not just open, because anything that's open can be closed, but the heavens were ripped apart, and the Spirit is descending like a dove upon him, identifying and empowering Jesus as one who points us to a new location. As the heavens were ripped apart, it eliminated the boundary between heaven and earth. This means that for Christians, the center of our spiritual maps is not in a nation's capital. It's not Washington, D.C., as it was for Lewis and Clark. Neither is our current location, wherever that may be. It's not the center of our maps. The center of our maps is not in Jerusalem or New York or London or Beijing or Rome. The center of the Christian map is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God revealed to us in the act of baptism. Therefore, every once in a while, we need to think about our own baptism and see it as a compass, perhaps, that points us back to that voice that tells us the truth about ourselves. You see, that voice proclaims us too as God's own beloved children. But that's not all that it proclaims. Sarah Jo Sargent is a Presbyterian pastor in Chicago. A 10-year-old boy in her congregation named Cameron walked into her office and said he needed to talk to her. Fresh from soccer practice and wearing his Cincinnati Reds baseball cap, he had a request for her. He said, "I'd like to be baptized." We're learning about Jesus' baptism in Sunday school. The teacher asked the class who was baptized, and all the other kids raised their hands. "I wanted to be baptized too." Using her best pastoral care tone of voice, she said, "Cameron, do you really want to be baptized because everybody else is, or simply because everybody else is?" His freckles wrinkled up and he replied, "No, I want to be baptized because it means I belong to God." She was touched by his understanding. "Well, then," she said, "how about this Sunday?" His smile turned to concern and he asked, "Do I have to be baptized in front of all those people in the church? Can't I just have a friend baptize me in the river?" She asked where he came up with that idea. "Well, Jesus was baptized by his cousin John in a river, wasn't he?" Caught off guard, she conceded, "You have a point. But if a friend baptized you in the river, how would the church recognize it?" Realizing this was a teachable moment, she climbed up on her footstool to reach for her Presbyterian Book of Order that was located at the highest shelf. But before she placed her hand on the book, he responded, "I guess the church would recognize it by my new way of living." She nearly fell off the footstool and left the Book of Order up on the top shelf. Cameron's understanding was neither childish nor simple. It was profound. Baptism calls us to a new way of living. You see, that voice proclaims us as God's own beloved children. But that's not all that it proclaims. It proclaims that we are anointed by the Spirit for service and for the divine work of mending and restoring creation, a new way of living. So you see, baptism is a powerful force in the life of a Christian. How so? What do I mean? Point one. You perhaps one time or another have seen on TV, the old black and white video footage of the civil rights marches in the 60s. Martin Luther King often at the front received his share of stinging high pressured water hoses. Reverend King once remarked that he and the other marchers had a common strength. He put it this way: "We went before the fire hoses. We had known water. If we were a Baptist or some other denomination, we had been immersed. If we were Methodists and some others, we had been sprinkled, but we knew water." In other words, you and I know the water. All of God's children know the water. We share by our faith this common symbol, the initiation, this rite, this power of God over the deep and the often raging chaos of life. We know water. All over the world, baptism unites us. So when you choose to be baptized or you have your child baptized, you are making a public declaration that your life or the life of your child belongs to God. You are placing your life or your child's life under God's sovereign control. That's why Jesus underwent baptism, even though he was sinless. He was showing what it means to submit to God's will, to dedicate your whole life to God, but it also signifies that you belong to a very significant community, the church. It's something we share in common with Christians everywhere. So when you meet a Catholic in Ireland, or a Protestant in New Orleans, they are not a stranger, but a member of the family. That's why we can sing, "Blessed be the ties that bind our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers, our fears, our hopes, our aims, our one, our comforts, and our cares. Baptism, you see, unites us. Also, we view as a powerful force, baptism, because remembering we are baptized takes us back to the basics. What are the basics? Well, someone explained it like this. It's like in elementary school. There was a time when America led the world in scholarship. But now we don't rank in the top 10. And on some lists, we struggle to be in the top 20. What is the cause of this? What has changed? Some say years ago, we emphasized the three R's of learning: reading, writing, and arithmetic. But these fundamental skills no longer seem to be the focus of education. Our parents and teachers understood the importance of building a strong foundation for a child's future, so we were taught the basics, the three R's: reading, writing, and arithmetic. As parents and teachers and leaders today, we would do well to remember that life is still composed of the basics. As far as our relationship with God, we have lost sight of three important R's. And that's resulted in our lives of chaos. Consider these three R's of the soul in order to address that chaos. Let baptism remind us of the three R's of the soul, which are repentance, righteousness, and revelation. Maybe that's why Mark chose to open his gospel as he did with the baptism of Jesus at the Jordan, because you can see those themes in the very act of baptism. Repentance. The baptism John the Baptist performed had a specific purpose. He mentions the purpose of his baptism: "I baptize you with water for repentance." Paul affirms this in Acts. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is Jesus. John's baptism had to do with repentance. It was symbolic. It was a symbolic representation of changing one's mind and going in a new direction, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. Being baptized by John demonstrated a recognition of one's sin, a desire for spiritual cleansing, and a commitment to follow God's law in anticipation of the Messiah's arrival. So why was Jesus baptized? His baptism confirms his identity as the Messiah and demonstrates his willingness to be the perfect atonement for all humanity's sin. Jesus was showing us an important step that we must take in the life, in our life as a believer. Again, Jesus underwent baptism, even though he was sinless, to show what it means to submit to God's will. In order to submit to God's will, we must repent of the life and behavior that separates us from God. The three R's of the soul: repentance, righteousness, and revelation. Perhaps in our lifetime, the most public statement of repentance was that of President Bill Clinton, the one he made before a prayer breakfast on September 10, 1998. He summed up the task perfectly when he said, "I don't think there's a fancy way to say that I have sinned." Then he quoted from a book given him by a Jewish friend in Florida. The book is called Gates of Repentance. Clinton read this passage from the book. "Now is the time for turning. The leaves are beginning to turn from green to red to orange." Remember, this was written in September. The birds are beginning to turn and are heading once more toward the south. The animals are beginning to turn to storing their food for the winter. For leaves, birds, and animals, turning comes instinctively. But for us, turning does not come so easily. It takes an act of will for us to make a turn. It means breaking old habits. It means admitting that we have been wrong, and this is never easy. It means losing face. It means starting all over again, and this is always painful. It means saying, I am sorry. It means recognizing that we have the ability to change. These things are terribly hard to do, but unless we turn, we will be trapped forever in yesterday's ways. Clinton's quote ended with this prayer: Lord, help us to turn from callousness to sensitivity, from hostility to love, from pettiness to purpose, from envy to contentment, from carelessness to discipline, from fear to faith. Turn us around, O Lord, and bring us back towards you. Revive our lives as at the beginning, and turn us toward each other. Lord, for in isolation, there is no life. For in isolation, there is no life. Whatever you might think of Clinton and his sincerity, he understood that he needed to do something very basic before the nation. He needed to repent. It's amazing, isn't it? Not even a president can escape the basic truths of life. Not even a president can escape the basic truths of life. The three R's of the soul: repentance, righteousness, revelation. Righteousness. Watch Jesus leave the water of the Jordan and do battle against the devil in the wilderness, opposing his lies with biblical truth. Watch Jesus submit to every law of God and man and remain the obedient son in whom his Father was well pleased. Watch him stand before those who falsely accused him, who delivered him up to be crucified on a cross as if he were a criminal. Look to Jesus dying for you. See there that every lustful thought, every cruel and false word, every selfish deed you ever thought, said, and did was laid on him, and he bore it all away. He fulfilled all righteousness. He who knew no sin was made to sin for you so that you might become the righteousness of God in him. In other words, our baptism connects us to the righteousness of him who has fulfilled all the righteous requirements of God's law. The three R's of the soul: repentance, righteousness, and revelation. Revelation. Those who were in the presence of Jesus heard God's voice and later saw the indisputable miracles he performed. They knew that when they heard the voice of Jesus, they were hearing the voice of God. Those who received the writing of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Peter, Paul, James, and Jude knew they held in their hands the words of God from the messengers of God. Such must be true for us. But you know, so much has changed. Preachers oftentimes have become just social philosophers, and few worshipers bring their Bibles to church when we are in church. Few people even open their Bibles up during the week, even though we're at home all week long. The truth is that we have lost sight of the fact that the Almighty God has spoken. It's as though God has not fully revealed himself to us in the Bible and through Christ. Baptism reminds us we need to get back to the basics: repentance, redemption, and revelation. Let me share this story. In Princeton, New Jersey, there's a legendary tale about the eminent scientist Albert Einstein. He's walking in front of a local inn and being mistaken for a bellboy by a traveler who had just arrived in a luxury sedan. She orders him to carry her luggage into the hotel. And according to the story, Einstein does. And he receives a small tip for it and says, thank you. And then he continues on to his office to ponder the mysteries of the universe. True or not, the story is delightful precisely because we know from the beginning a secret that that traveler does not know. The strange looking ruffled little man with the hair flying all about is the most celebrated intellect of our time. Some stories gain their power, you see, from our knowing the story's secret from the start. It's just like when we watch some episodes on TV, we know that the hero is going to be the victor. After all, because they got to have another show the next week, so the hero's got to, you know, he's got to succeed. Some stories gain their power from our knowing the story's secret from the start. The Gospel of Mark is such a story. The secret of Mark's gospel is the identity of Jesus Christ. In the very first sentence of the gospel story, Mark lifts the veil and lets us know the secret when he says that this is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. That's the secret. And lest we miss it, this hidden truth is confirmed in the story's opening episode. When Jesus, coming up out of the waters of baptism, sees the Holy Spirit descending upon him like a dove from the heavens, which have been torn apart like a piece of cloth, and then hears the very voice of God telling the secret, "Thou art my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Only Jesus, some say only Jesus sees the Spirit, others hear it. All hear the voice. This is the ultimate revelation, the revealing of a truth that the world will come to know. In the Jewish tradition, there is a name for this voice, Bat Kol, or Bat Kol, which means literally the daughter of a sound. The daughter of a sound, the smallest, thinnest of voices, is the voice of God. A heavenly or divine voice which revealed God's will, God's choice, or God's judgment. It is God speaking to us in the events of our lives, in the people we love, in the characters and situations that challenge us. In the story of his baptism, the Bat Kol is heard by Jesus. You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased. On this baptism of the Lord Sunday, hopefully you will remember and celebrate your own baptism, because it happens for many people when they are infants, or depending on your background as a young person, we might not give much thought to it, but we are to regard it as the most significant moment in our life, no matter when it occurred. Ideally, we should carry with us at all times the consciousness that we are a baptized person. And that baptism should make a difference in everything we do. May you go back and remember the basics of your faith. May your heart be attentive to that same voice speaking to you in the course of the simple, undramatic, everyday experiences of life. May the voice of God lead and guide you. May the voice of God take you back to the basics of your faith. Let the people of God say, our joys and concerns this morning, some that we have been notified of. Mary Coleman, again, is still in Carewan Teaneck. Mary Johnston, our soloist, is at home. We continue to lift her up in prayer. And Jeremy Kravitz is coming out of, or it's in recovery after surgery, He's a friend of Michael Mobley, our drummist. We're going to call him church drummist. Let us, as the people of God, join together in prayer. God of creation, whose voice causes oceans to tremble, you lighten our darkness. We pray that you give form to the void within us and send your spirit as comfort and hope. We thank you for visiting us with your mercy. Your goodness overwhelms us. We can look to you in times of need, rely on you to drive away our doubt, depend on your judgment to curb our folly, and live in the hope that one day Jesus shall reign. There are those in our Christian family whose days are filled with uncertainty, either because of health concerns, grief, or issues related to this pandemic. Invade their gloom with the warmth of your loving care. Give them the sense that you are there. Lift them from feelings of hopelessness and enable them to grasp your abiding concern. Give us a measure of the compassion that Jesus showed, O Lord. We come this morning praying that you would help us to be open to all in need, that we may become instruments of your mercy. We pray for those whose days lack luster, those who wander aimlessly. Lord, give to them a sense of your will for their lives. Give to them the strength to pursue that will and the discipline to do what you would have them do. We pray for our country and those in leadership, as some struggle to find unity and peace and others take glory in divisiveness and hurt. Erase from us our need to be critical of those who do not conform to our standards. Lord, teach us patience as we all struggle to find meaning in life and happiness. Make this day and all our days a celebration of our baptism. Fill us anew with your spirit and cleanse us of past sins, which divide us from Christ and from each other. Send us forth as Christ's disciples, abiding in the hope of new life and proclaiming God's news to aid the afflicted. Give us your blessing, O God of all creation, even as we pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our announcements for this morning, we ask that our liturgists will share those announcements with us. Afterwards, our closing hymn will be Blessed Be the Ties That Bind.
We have our announcements, Presbyterian Church calendar events. We do have a deacon's meeting on Tuesday, January 12th at 7 p.m. And the Center for Food Action is sponsoring, it's Martin Luther King National Day of Service. It's for the 10K Snack Pack. And there is a link that you can register or you can visit. We do have a session meeting on Wednesday, January 20th at 7:30 p.m. And we also want you to know that the Center for Food Action is conducting its 2021 Super Bowl Hearty Soup Drive. That will take from Sunday, January 17th through Sunday, February 7th. And you may drop off canned goods especially soup at the church or from Tuesday through Thursday between the hours of 11:30 a.m. and, excuse me, from 10:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. And the donations to CFA may be earmarked in your church offerings through February 7th.
Blessed be the ties that bind. Of God's grace surround you and uphold you. May your baptism strengthen you for the work ahead, and may the Spirit that descends upon Jesus at his baptism fall upon your shoulders as you seek to do God's will. Let the people of God say, Amen.
Amen.
Go in peace. We invite you to unmute yourselves and to activate your video. I finally found the right verb to use. Activate your video for a time of fellowship. Hopefully I'll remember that word next week.
Wow.
Hello. Hello.
Hi, Happy. Betty. Hi, how Betty.
Doing? How you doing? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to everyone.
Happy New Year.
Yes. Happy New Year to you all. Hey, Kat.
Hello there, Dottie.
Hi, everyone.
Greetings.
Betty, Dottie. Hi, Dottie.
We could do a Zoom commercial. You know that.
New Year.
Hey.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
We hope all are doing well, and we're so glad to see each of you on online this morning. So thank you. And best wishes for the week.
Hi, Dottie.
Crazy week.
Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Arietti.
Fine, I'm fine. I continue to pray for good health to each and every one of you and for a safe and a successful 2021.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Everyone
else.
Beautiful.
Oh, I see Vera.
And Dr. Sawyer, glad to see you and Dan.
Hey, Vera.
Hi.
Nice to see you.
How are you? Fun.
We're glad to see you.
Kayfon, who is in Malibu.
Don't make that tea too, don't make that coffee too strong. All right, then.
Hi, Kayfon.
Mr. Chang Soon, I'm going to be giving you a call in a hot second.
Okay.
That sounds good.
Hey, Mama.
More work. And Mrs. Jenkins, I'll see you in a hot second.
Pastor Tate, I just wanted to say that my son, Stefan, has joined us from Sweden this morning.
There he is.
Yes, we saw him. We're so glad that he's able to join us.
Yeah,
very nice.
And we're on the same time schedule?
No.
What's your time?
Like 6 o'clock, 6 p.m.
6 p.m.
Oh, there he is.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, well, we're going to send you to bed. We're going to send you to bed.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for joining us.
Yes.
Yeah, Dottie and her grandson from Sweden.
Hi.
Hi. Hello, Reverend.
Andy wants to say hello.
Hi.
Say hi.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
It's very nice.
Hey, Jim. Hey, Jackie.
Hi.
Hi, Vera.
Hi.
Hi, Vera.
Hi.
Hi, my name is Daniel.
Hi, Daniel.
Hey, Daniel.
Oh, yeah. He gets so excited when he sees the altar.
Yeah,
wow, look at him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah, I don't know how to use the technology yet, but I'm learning. It took me all this while to turn on the voice. Right, Daniel? Yeah, mommy's not too swift on the technology.
Yes.
That's nice.
Cool, wonderful feeling to share service with you.
Okay, we're gonna say goodbye. Ready?
Bye.
Have a good
bye. Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Bye.
Okay. Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
To you.
Yes. Okay.
Oh, the rain. Okay. Bye-bye, everyone. Take care.
Bye.
Take care.
So, what do we do? Okay, the Zoom session to shut it off. Oh, here it is.